Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you happen to be in the world. Hello to you, and hello to you, all of those who listen to my replays, because I have quite a few people who do catch the replay. I want to thank you all so very much for taking out the time of your busy schedule, especially this holiday season. You know, we all have so much on our plates, and for you to take out the time to spend a little time with me, I really appreciate that. And I hope that today's show, like my other shows, will bring you some peace and added joy and benefit somehow into your life. Today, we're talking about living and dying. So if you guys tuned into my show last week, you know that I gave a shout out to, I call her my number one biggest fan, Shirley Cameron. And we're going to talk about Shirley today, because Shirley, unfortunately, well, we won't, I say unfortunately, but it's sometimes, you know, it's a blessing. Shirley passed away last night. And her illness was very quick and caught her family off guard. And so today I decided to do a show on living and dying, because the family has touched my heart so much, and Shirley has touched my heart so much in the short time that I have known her. So I'm just going to get on Facebook Live here, because I know the family will be there on Facebook Live, and I'm just putting on a little bit of makeup, because it's, when you're on the radio, you can be in your pajamas and nobody knows, but when you're on Facebook Live, the world sees you. So I'm just giving a little dab here, a little dab there, so I will be ready to go. So I will take callers today. If you would like to call into the show to talk to me, and we can talk about living, we can talk about dying, we can talk about the holidays, kind of pretty open today. I can do maybe one or two readings today, probably not too many more than that. So if you would like to call into the studio today, the call-in number is 516-595-8267. So I'm going to hop on Facebook Live now. Okay, just letting everybody know I'm here. All right. And here we go. Facebook Live is loading up. Hey, everybody. Hi, good morning. This is Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island Psychic Medium, coming to you live here from chilly New England. But we don't have snow yet, which is a good thing, really. Of course, if you love snow, then it would be a bad thing. So I'm already on the Blog Talk Radio studio. And if you would like to talk to me live this morning on the radio, the guest call-in number is 516-595-8267. Again, that guest call-in number is 516-595-8267. Good morning, Cindy. Good morning, Susan. Yay, I was just looking for the schedule. I was putting my face on. So I usually get my sort of routine now is I get the Blog Talk Radio up and going, and then I hop on Facebook. So good morning to you all. So I want to dedicate this morning's show to my number one fan, Shirley Cameron, who passed away last night and joined her family back on the spirit side. And so I want to send out my heartfelt love to her family, and Cindy's with us this morning, and to, thank you, Susan, and to Shirley, although I've been in communication with her for the last 3 days, really. And it's really been a fabulous experience for me, a wonderful experience. And I really feel so blessed to have this gift, to be able to communicate with people sort of no matter what their place in life is, their sort of whether they're living or dying or if they've already crossed to the other side. And it's really a blessing for me. And I feel like it can be really a blessing for the family as well, because, you know, there are, especially when there's cases where the family doesn't have an opportunity to say, sort of have their last conversation with their loved ones if the loved one goes nonverbal. And I had a case about, let's see, my brother passed in 2013. So it was shortly after he passed away, maybe about 6 months. So might have been the beginning of 2014. And it was one of my brother's neighbors who, she had actually taken my brother's cat and adopted her when he passed away, because we couldn't take her because we have really bad cat allergies. So we took my brother's dog, Alice. And if you heard the show before, especially back in my earlier shows, at the time when my brother had passed away, you knew about Alice. Alice was this little Minpin Pomeranian who was my mother's Pomeranian and my brother's Minpin's accident. And when she arrived with me, when I adopted her, inherited her from my brother, she was 13, and we had her for a year and a half. She had just had her 15th birthday when she crossed back to spirit. And so Jennifer, who my brother's neighbor, graciously took my brother's beautiful black long-haired cat. And her mom had been in a coma for months, you know, obviously nonverbal. And they just wanted to know if there was anything that I could do to communicate with her, really to find out like why she was still hanging on. And it was really interesting because I had not at that point before spoken to someone who was in a coma. I had the experience with my mom when she was in her coma, and I was able to witness her arriving to the other side, being in the garden, going through her review. Those were some of the last words that actually came out of her mouth, was that, you know, oh, it's so beautiful here. And I knew she was in the garden when she said that. And then a while later, she'd say, oh, there's a mistake. And she, at that point, had been in a coma for about 6 or 7 hours and was nonverbal. And so I knew what was going on, but I wasn't communicating with her. I was witnessing her and her process and what she was going through. Good morning, Patrick. And so then when Jennifer contacted me to see if there was anything I could do for her mom, I said, you know, I don't know. Let me see. So I went, and it was really a beautiful thing. Her mom she wanted to show me her life. And she showed me as a child, she would be dressed in these white, beautiful dresses. You know, and she had a nanny, and I can't remember if she was Danish, but she was from a Swedish country. And anyway, so she wanted her life to be witnessed, and she took me all through growing up and then her later years. And her last wish was that she be buried in a particular blouse. She was an artist. And this blouse was very colorful. It looked like stained glass, and it had a big bow. That was her last wish, was that she wanted to be buried in that particular blouse. And there was a painting that she had been looking for, a piece of her artwork that she hadn't been able to find. And she wanted to let her family know that she thought the painting was up, it was up in the attic. And oh, and she was also remembering things because this was a few years now ago. She wanted to she wanted to make sure that her husband, she was worried about her husband because he was eating too many cookies and too much junk food since she had slipped into the coma because she had done all the cooking. So that was a big concern for her. And so it was really, really interesting. The whole family was there. They witnessed, the whole session. And it was really a powerful, powerful thing. And so from that point, I realized what a gift it is to be able to communicate with people who have become nonverbal to help their families through this really difficult period of time. Hi, Mary. Oh, so Mary, I want to send out my heartfelt love to you and condolences. Mary is Shirley's niece. I hope you don't mind me saying that, because the show this morning is dedicated to my friend and number one fan, Shirley Cameron. And so again, it's such a blessing to be able to sort of be the facilitator for these people who are nonverbal, and I want to really talk about, a little bit about what it looks like and how we can handle sort of our grief and our living in sort of a healthy way. And grieving is different for everyone. And I know this is kind of a heavy subject around the holidays, but, the fact is we lose loved ones around the holidays, which makes it even more difficult for us, right, being around the holiday time. In my own experience, the same few months after I lost my brother, we lost my partner's mother, and it was 2 days before Christmas. That was pretty difficult, and so I want to, again, talk about sort of like how Shirley's family celebrated her life while she was still here in the physical body. Because if you guys tuned into the show last week, you knew that I wished Shirley a happy birthday because it was her birthday on Monday. And one of the things that she said was that she didn't get her birthday party because she went to the hospital on her birthday and she wanted a cupcake with chocolate frosting and one candle on the cupcake. And so her granddaughter went out and got the cupcake and they had a party for her. They put music on and they were singing and dancing and the whole family was there celebrating her life. And what a way to go, right? And what a, thank you, Cindy, have our permission to speak of these parents. Thank you so much. What a way to go, right? Because it was so joyful. And when we can sort of help our loved ones exit in a joyful way, not only is it easier for us in a sense, but it's easier for them too. So some of the things that come up with people as they know they're dying and with the families is questions about what's going to happen to them. Often a lot of fear. Good morning, Jeannie. Good morning, Sandra. Good morning, Mary. I just see people on the Facebook page here. And so we're talking about living and dying and how to do it well. And one of the things that often comes up with people, again, if they have a diagnosis or if they're sort of in stages of life and around their family, is that they're afraid often of crossing over and going to the other side because it's really pretty amazing how many people have this fear of dying because they feel like they weren't good enough in this life or they had sinned, against whatever their religion was or their upbringing or understanding of how they could get through the gates of heaven, so to say. And I want to let you know that in my experience, I have found, good morning, Deb. Nice to see you yesterday, too. I have found in my experience over and over and over again, and I have talked with and worked with thousands of people at this point in my career, and I have never found a person who has crossed to the other side who has said, oh my God, I was so bad, I went right to hell. So, you know, it might, I'm sure there are people there, if there's such a thing. See, I don't actually believe in a physical hell. I believe hell is what we make it. And when we make this life hell, then we repeat that on the other side because we haven't figured it out yet. And I really believe that we have the power, because we have free will in living and in death, to create an experience, you know, sort of that we truly truly have a big part in creating, and both again on this side and on the other side. So it was so interesting because after Shirley had passed, I was speaking with Cindy on the phone, and I said, "Oh my God!" So first thing was she had her white Maltese with her. And her husband was there, and he actually was sitting by her bedside the entire time while she was in the hospital, just waiting for her, you know, holding her hand. And you know, one of the things as the gifts that I have is I'm a visual psychic as well as auditory, so I can see spirit people, and as well as hear them. So I have the clairvoyance and clairaudience. I have all the clairs. So once she had crossed to the other side, she was so funny. She was younger, and she had like a bouffant hairdo. It was like teased, you know, and she was smoking a cigarette and drinking a martini and playing cards. And I said, she's playing cards. I asked her if she was playing poker, and she said no. And I did not know what kind of card game they were playing. And so when I relayed this message to her family, they confirmed that, oh yeah, she loved this card game, and it was a card game I've never heard of before, so I would have never in a million years guessed what it was, because I have a physical body, and you know, my mind has to make sense of the messages too, so you know, sometimes she brought the cards to let me know she was playing cards, and then the family knew the rest of it, right, what was the card game that she was playing. So that's kind of neat. And so when I work with people, it's a co-creative experience, or co-creative is not the right word. It's a sort of coordinated, collaborative experience. That's what it was, collaborative. So I will see pictures, I'll hear words, and then I express that information to the family, to the person I'm reading for, and then they help to fill in the pieces, like what the card game was. It's pretty neat. So at four, Sandra says her mom died 4 days after Thanksgiving in 1999, and I remember how well I invoked angels, and I know they came, and I'm sure they did for you too. Yes. Yes, they absolutely did, Sandra. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. And so when our loved ones are, you know, at that point of they're getting ready to go to the great beyond, it helps them when we can let them know it's okay for them to go. They often will hold on if they are fearful that it will be too difficult for us. And so they will hold on. And so it's really a good idea to let them know that it's okay for them to go, even though you might be sad, that you want them, you don't want them to suffer, and you want them to go. That's a really, really, can be really key. And I don't know who's putting angry faces, but that's not nice. So that's on Facebook. I love the hearts and the smiley faces and the thumbs up. And actually, Facebook, the more of the hearts and all that, the smiley faces you get, the more they share your video, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. So thank you, guys. So the switchboard is filling up over here on the at the studio, and I just want to put my little notebook here. I like to keep notes when I'm on the radio, so I'm not doing the same thing over and over again. I'm trying to find my radio notebook. Let's see. Hold on 1 second, everybody. I have so many notebooks. I am like the notebook queen. Anyway, I can't find it in this moment. So that's okay, because this is a show I will definitely remember for sure. Oh, right now you guys are putting tons of hearts and thumbs up. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Linda. All right, so I'm going to go to the switchboard. And there's some Skype callers there. The 111s are Skype. And so when I bring you on the air, caller, please let me know what your name is and where you are calling from. So this is a Skype call, so I don't know what your area code is. So if you are calling from Skype, hi, you're on the air with Cynthia Fontaine. How are you this morning?
Hi, it's Jay calling from Canada. Hello, it's Jay calling from Canada. Sorry for, I thought I had call identifier on, so sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. No worries, Jay. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. Just watching or listening to your show. I'm probably going to watch it in a second. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. And what can I do for you today on this Sunday morning?
Yeah, just regarding your topic.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. About your topic. There's a really big difference between grieving and mourning a loved one.
Yeah.
I think feel that grieving is actually what we've been taught is it's internal, and mm-hmm. mourning is about the expression of that loved one outside of us. Stories, mementos, things like that. Mostly people are sharing those stories with another person.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that that's how we can actually honor our loved ones that passed on.
Yes, I totally agree with you on that. And I like that thinking that mourning is external and grieving is internal. I really like that. So thank you for that. And it's one when we have that expression, the external expression, and how we mourn can make a really big difference when our loved ones are still with us before they've reached the state of crossing over. And Shirley wanted a party, and she got a damn good party. And even the people at the hospital were so impressed and so thrilled with how the family, sort of handled the whole thing. And, it's different, I think, a little bit when someone has lived a full life, or if someone's younger and if you feel like they haven't lived a full life. But how we mourn is really sort of, it may be a picture of what's going on inside as well, even though, you're celebrating, of course, you're still going to have some sadness.
Oh, yes. I feel that sadness will decrease little by little, and to a point where you can just talk about it, maybe with very little emotion. So it's always different. It's always different for everybody, but the grief never ends. Actually,
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. With my grandparents were super important in my life, and My grandfather passed away, my mom's parents, in 89, and my grandmother in 2001. And I still think about them every single day. You know, the real deep sadness isn't there anymore, but there's still, you know, a yearning that how I wish they were here. You know, so it does shift over time for sure. And, you know, the thing is that we all experience it. We all experience losing loved ones, and sort of knowing that, and knowing that when we can help each other and boost each other up, I think makes a big difference as well. And not isolating, I feel, is really important. It's really important.
That's so true. And I find that, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I think that we don't really talk about grief or even talk about death, because we feel shamed by talking about it. So we go into like isolation mode. And for myself, I had to seek out groups that where people have lost loved ones, feel vulnerable about it and not feel so isolated about it. I felt when my first group that I went to, I didn't feel alone. I felt really comforted to be there. And even though my grief is different from everybody else's, is that, I just didn't feel so isolated that I can actually express and share stories without being, you know, kind of like shamed about it, or, you know, move on, or people not respecting it, but not having the time for you, because people don't know what to say when you lost a loved one, so.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, and that's so important. People don't know what to say when you lose a loved one, and especially if you know, you're in a situation, you know, like Cindy, where her mom had lived a full life and they were happy for her to cross. And how, you know, and sometimes that shocks people, you know, because, oh, you're supposed to be mourning, you're supposed to be grieving, you're supposed to be sad. And there is a sadness again. But it's more common that people do often isolate. People don't want to talk about death. People are afraid of death and dying. And they don't know how to really sort of deal with it, for the people who are left. And so I really, really want to commend you for seeking out groups and support, because it's so important. And, you know, not everybody has a big family who they can sort of lean into or rely on when things like this happens. And there may be some things that you can't share with your family that you can share in a group. And being vulnerable is so important, and it's so difficult. So, you know, you as a male sharing this and talking about that, you know, being vulnerable, I really want to thank you for sharing and expressing that, because especially for our men, it is difficult, because, you know, men grow up with the idea that, you know, that you're not supposed to cry, you're not supposed to show your feelings, and if you do, you're weak, you're a crybaby, et cetera, et cetera. And so I really want to thank you for coming on and for sharing that and sharing your vulnerability and your stories, because I think it's important, you know, for other men to hear things like that and to know that this is healthy and it's okay and it's good to reach out. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you much. So thank you for letting me be part of the show.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you here, and you know, so happy to talk with you on the phone.
You're welcome.
keep doing your good work, and I hope that you have a fabulous, fabulous week.
Yes, you too. Have a lovely week. Take care.
Thanks, Jay. You too. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Yeah. So, guys, that's such a key thing, right? And I know I don't have a ton of guys, men that listen to the show, but I know I have some. And I want to say to you, and say to you women, to really support your men in being vulnerable, in making it okay for them to cry, to share their feelings, because it helps us really in a big way, and because it makes it okay for us to share our feelings as well. One note, though, with our men, ladies, our men do have a little bit of a difficult time when we are overcome with grief and emotions and crying, because men, their job is to make things better. And if they don't know how to fix it, they don't know what to do about it. So if you're having a moment, you might want to say to your man, honey, I just have to let this out. And I know there's nothing that you can do, but if you can just allow me this time to just cry it out, that's the best thing you can do for me. So it's important to tell our men how they can help us. And this goes with, you know, any areas in your relationship. Good to see men's tears at Bush's funeral because it unified us as humans. Yes, Sandra on Facebook, thank you. Yes, so much so. And if you guys didn't see my post about the Bush funeral on my private page, go take a look at that. It is publicly posted so anybody can look at it. It really inspired me to look deeply into what is important to me at this time and values. And, you know, I've always had very strong ethics and values, but it really brought me a lot of clarity, and it gave me the opportunity to really think deeply and mourn. Good morning, Velva, Dawn, because the funeral itself, if you watched it at all, the George H.W. Bush funeral, and you know, in my writing, if you read it, or I'll just share a little bit quickly about it, is I was busy in my life then when George H.W. Bush was president, and I wasn't really so paying attention to what was going on the political scene. You know, I knew about the Berlin Wall coming down, and I knew about some of the big things, but I wasn't really into sort of the details of it, or you know, paying attention to those things. The unemployment benefits were extended an extra 26 weeks because we had the banking crisis and so many people were out of work. And things like that. And I was grateful for that because at that time, my then husband had been out of work and couldn't find a job, and it was difficult. But it really gave me an opportunity to mourn what we have going on, what we're seeing in this country, in the United States right now, because it was such a stark difference between what we have going on as a country and within the American people, and what there's such a great divide where it was so blatant in services talking about President Bush 41, as they refer to him, and the things that he did to unify people and his caring. And we really need to come to a place in our hearts and in our country to be unified as one, to have our differences, because there will always be differences. That's what makes us human. But at the same time, to respect those differences, and most importantly, to respect the other human beings. So with that, I'm going to go back to the phone lines, and this number is area code 805. And the last four digits are 6979. Oh, let's see. There it goes. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Cynthia Fontaine. How can I help you today?
Cynthia. Hi, this is Donna from California.
Hi, and Donna from California.
Hi. What you were picking up, please, about a week ago, I was in my daily meditation, which I do for 40 minutes every morning. I've been doing that for about 30 years. And a message came through. It came in very lovingly and said it's coming soon. And, you know, I was like, where's this coming from? And I've been meditating for more money to come in and to meet a fellow, you know, to get married. And, you know, so I don't know, you know, when it said it's coming soon, what are you picking up, please?
Oh, so married and more money?
Yeah, because I want to travel.
Oh, great. Okay, so let me ask you, were you focusing on both during that particular meditation?
I don't know. That's it.
So here's like a key, because I like to help people. I like to give people tools that they can use because, you know, though I have the gift of psychic and doing psychic readings, I love for people to figure things out on their own and what it means for them, right? And so I will ask, what were you thinking about in that moment? What were you focusing on? Or, you know, what was the sort of the foundation of your meditation that day? So I invite you in the future to set a tone for the meditation, a specific sort of focus, and then pay attention when something comes in like that. Where were you? Where was your mind at the time? What were you thinking about? Right. So I do want to say congratulations for being a dedicated meditator, because it really makes a difference in your life and in a person's life. And I feel like for you, they want you to know, and when I say they, this is the collective of higher level beings that I work with, my guides, they are congratulating you, saying that you have, they're not saying, the word is not overcome, but you have circumvented, is what they're saying, some big medical things that were placed on your chart as learning tools by having your meditation practice. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So they're clapping their hands and they're jumping up and down for joy, and they're really, really happy about that. And they want to talk about, so they will often go to a different subject also. Sometimes than what your question is, if there's something that is important or pressing. Do you have a son by any chance?
No, no kids. I have nephews.
Okay. And is there one who's like a son to you? Are you closer with one particular?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay, so that's they're bringing the one that you're closer to forward. And what's going on with him in his life right now?
Well, you know, he's 23.
Mm-hmm.
He's just for December, and he has no job. He lives at home. Yeah, they lost their brother about 2 years ago. He was 19. So that kind of paid a heavy toll on the family.
Sure.
The mom doesn't celebrate anything anymore. And yeah, so yeah, I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what his, you know, direction's going to be.
Right. Sure. Understandable. And so I feel like that you can have some influence on this young man. And how much time does he live close enough to you that you can, you know, like, take him out for the day, or you guys can sit down and have him. Okay. So this is really key for him. I feel like for you, you've made a commitment on a soul level before you incarnated with this young man to hold his arm. They're not saying hand. They're like, grab him by the arm and sort of guide him down the path. Right. And it's not in a sense where you're lecturing or sort of like that kind of thing, but just have a relationship with him. Keep that door open, and really have a relationship with him as much as you can. You know, and I feel like he will open up to you. And I feel like that you can really have a significant benefit to this young man. Now, is this your sister-in-law?
No, it's my sister's son.
Okay, it's your sister's son. Okay. And are, do you speak with your sister very often or?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I feel like that, and it was her, the 19-year-old, it was a sudden death?
Yeah.
It was, yeah, I can see that. And that's the most, they're the most difficult, right? When it's sudden and such a tragedy, and the person is so young, I can't say, I don't know that, you know, they'll never get over it.
No.
But then it's how do you keep on living, right? I just were actually recently worked with a couple who had just lost their son. I believe he was 19 as well, in a motorcycle accident 2 months ago, and he was being reckless. He was going too fast. He knew it. And all he could say was that he was so sorry. He didn't expect that to happen. And he was so sorry that he was reckless like that. And he left behind. No, he wasn't 19. I think he was a little bit older, but there was something about when he was 19. Maybe it was when he had his first child. He left behind a couple of kids. Yeah. And so the parent, his parents are helping with the kids and all that. What was your nephew's name who's passed?
Garrett.
I'm sorry, Derek?
Garrett. G-A-R-R-E-T.
Garrett. Okay. He was a really smart young man. And had he talked about the military? Or is there military in the family?
Yeah, his brother went in the Marines.
Okay, because I'm seeing a military uniform. And now, does he have two brothers?
He does, yes.
Okay. And so the older brother in the Marines. They're both older, but is it the oldest brother that's in the Marines?
He was in the Marines, yeah.
Okay.
He's out now.
Okay. Okay, and he did 4 years, or was it a little bit less than four?
4 years. 4 years.
Yeah, okay. Because I'm seeing four, and they're going, it might have been a smidge under. So even if it was a day under, they'd be like, it was not quite four. You know? Funny. My guys are funny. I have particular guides that will come forward at different times to give me a clue into sort of like the people's personalities that I'm talking with or talking about, and this particular guide is kind of jokey, right? He's funny, and so your nephew, who is the Marine, he's got a sense of humor?
I don't talk to him too much, so I don't know really. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like he does have a quirky kind of sense of humor, and he. He's actually, they don't want to focus too much on him. He's actually okay. You know, compared to the other brother, the middle brother. But they just, what they're doing is, Garrett is just showing me, you know, some things about his life with the brother in the military and so forth. And when I ask him, is there a particular message or anything that he wants to give to you or his mom? He says there isn't. I feel like he feels that he's very disjointed, actually, in trying to communicate with him. And did he have a brain injury?
Well, he took a drug, a psilocybin mushroom drug, and he climbed over a bridge that had a fence over the freeway climbed up over the fence and went onto the freeway, and a truck killed him.
Oh,
tragic.
You know, I think I heard about that. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, so that would explain my head being like, you know, I can't get a complete sentence out. That would explain that. Because so now that you've said that, now it's starting to clear up. So he's, you know, showing me that he wasn't clear of mind. When I ask him, you know, did he plan this? Was it, you know, because it could have been a form of him planning to take his life. He says, no, it wasn't.
No, very happy child.
Yeah, he said it was not an attempt to take his life. I feel like that, my phone is, sorry about that. I should have put my phone on. Okay. I feel like that it was not intended as, a suicide attempt. And that it was something that, that he didn't actually.
Your radio show playback.
Okay. He didn't expect for it to happen.
No.
Yeah, he really didn't. So I hope in some way that can be helpful. You know,
yeah.
That he did not intend, it wasn't intended as a suicide attempt or taking his life. He was actually shocked when he landed on that vehicle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But he was shocked, but he was watching it from outside his body at that point. So I feel like was he still alive for a period of time afterwards?
No.
They pronounced him immediately.
Well, yeah, his whole body was all over the freeway.
Oh,
they
God.
I'm so sorry.
So, but know that he wasn't there. He was already outside of his body.
Okay.
Yeah, he was already outside of his body. And so he didn't experience any of the pain or trauma. When he hit that vehicle, he went, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I believe that, yeah.
What? But he was saying that from watching outside of his body. As he was falling, he was already out.
Oh.
So know that he didn't experience the pain or the trauma, you know, of the terrible way that he passed away. He didn't feel it.
Good.
Yeah, he didn't feel it. He was already out.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. So he was already out. And so we only have 3 minutes left of the show. And I know that your question was about marriage and money, but thank you for allowing Garrett to come through. And I hope that can bring some kind of healing, you know, for your sister, for yourself, and for your family. That, you know, again, he didn't intend for that to happen, and he didn't experience the physical pain of the accident.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah.
And now he can say that he's saying that he can say that he's sorry. It's like he's stuttering. Did he have a stutter when he was in physical?
I don't think so.
Okay. So I feel like that it's because he's so sorry, right? And he can't even get it out, right? Where he's like stuttering because now he sees how his family is struggling so much.
Oh, yeah.
So my heart goes out to all of you. That is just. It's just such a tragedy, you know, such a tragedy. And then married with money is what they're saying. I want to get back to your question. So it's funny because they're saying married with money, not money and married separately, but married married with money is what they're saying. So interesting. And are you about 54 now, younger or older?
I'm 64.
64. And what, okay, so what was, quickly, because we only have a minute and a half left, what was going on at 54?
I was in a 9-year relationship. He died around that time.
Okay.
I haven't been with anybody since.
Okay, so what they're saying, when they bring you back to an age, it's because that there's still things that are affecting you from then in your life now, and I feel like that's sort of the block of what's holding you back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to do some work around that. I feel like that you definitely have a married with money on your chart. But you've got to do some work to get through that that relationship and that mourning, to bring that other relationship in.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I wish we had more time to focus on that. We're down to less than a minute. I really want to thank you so very much for calling in. I wish your family a blessed holiday season. And I hope that you have some healing.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate this. And you too, have a wonderful holiday. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Donna.
Bye.
All right, guys. So we have 30 seconds left here on Blog Talk Radio. So you guys can find me through my website, cynthiafontaine.com, on Facebook, the Rhode Island Psychic Medium. Like my page if you haven't liked it. And sign up for my newsletters, although I don't send out newsletters too often. It's easier for me to jump on a Facebook Live than it is to sit down and type and send out a newsletter. Thank you guys. I love you all so very much. I'm going to sign off here on Blog Talk. I'm going to stay on Facebook for a few more minutes with you all. Have a fabulous day here on Blog Talk Radio.